Alright, I guess we're about ready. Good evening, everyone. We're going to start a study tonight on Revelation chapter 13. We'll start in verse 1. Revelation 13 gives us a picture of the two beasts, one coming up out of the sea and one coming up out of the earth. And we know that the sea identifies with the world, and we know that the earth identifies with the church. And in Revelation chapter 13, we read in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and faith of the saints." Okay, that's Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. The following verses from 11, I think it goes to 18, if I recall, deal with the beast coming up out of the earth, and it identifies that beast as having two horns, like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. But we'll look at this first beast, the picture of the first beast, coming up out of the earth. In verse 1, the first word I started to look at, there is a phrase that John is saying, "I stood upon the sand of the sea." And to stand upon something usually gives us a picture of someone having victory. You know, we have a verse Revelation chapter 12. Where we see the beginning of that verse starts, the beginning of that chapter starts off in verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." And here is a picture of the moon under her feet. She's standing on a moon. And we know that the moon identifies with the Word of God, just as the sun identifies with the Word of God. And particularly, the moon appears to identify with the law of God. And so here is a picture of the body of Christ. The woman is clothed with the sun, bringing the gospel, is the body of Christ. And this moon, I think, identifies with the fact that she has had victory through Christ, of course, over the law, and she stands upon the law and the word, which is the foundation. And here we get a picture, "And I, John, stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." We see, again, to stand upon the feet in Acts chapter 26. We read in verse 14, "And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for the purpose to make thee a minister and a witness." So here we have a picture where the Lord is telling Saul to stand upon his feet because he has appeared for the purpose that he would be a minister and a witness. And also, of course, this would identify with the fact that that he had victory through Christ. And both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins, the an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So again, here is a picture of Saul being sent out to bring the gospel, and he is stood upon his feet. He is commanded to stand upon thy feet. So to stand identifies with bringing the gospel. It identifies with having victory, to be found standing. And we get another picture of this in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and the them are the two witnesses. It is the body of Christ that is in view again. And the Spirit of life, or the Pumanozoe, from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And we know that the Pumanozoe identifies with the Word of God. The Spirit of life. My words are spirit, my words are life. That's the Pumanozo, the Word of God. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And those who saw them, of course, is identifying with those who are responding, because fear has come upon them. And the fear of God is the beginning of the gospel. It is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. It is the first response. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplates of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So Ephesians chapter 6 here does again make it very clear that to stand identifies with bringing the gospel. It also gives us the picture of victory in Christ, to declare the Word of God. Now the sand and the sea, found a couple of very interesting pictures with this sand in the sea. And let's start just looking at that. In Matthew chapter 7, we read in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built the house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So here we have a picture of a house that was built upon the sand, and it talks about the floods coming. It's the flood of false doctrine. But the Lord is identifying these people as those who have heard the sayings. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So they are under the hearing. These are people that are under the hearing of the word of God. They are sanctified. They are very close to the kingdom of God. But they are not doing the word of God. They are not responding. And he is saying these people have built their house upon the sand. And the sand of the sea, I think, is giving us a picture. It is identifying with the corporate church. The sand of the sea is the church. The sand is the place where the house is built. They build the house upon the church. We see in Romans chapter 9, again with this sand of the sea, in verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Elias also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So here God is identifying the children of Israel as the sand of the sea, but only a remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now we know that God speaks of two Israels in the Bible, just like he speaks of two Jerusalems and two Judas, two women, two sons, two children, two sons. And here again, Israel is identifying with the corporate body in this case, because the number of the children of Israel will be as the sand of the sea, but only a remnant of that shall be saved. And the sand of the sea, of course, is many. We read in Revelation chapter 20, again looking at the sand of the sea, in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camps of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoureth them. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And here again, God is identifying those who are gathered together for the battle, and identifies them as the number whom is as the sand of the sea. And so, I think when we look here into this picture of Revelation 13:1, and we see an eye stood upon the sand of the sea, And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is John is representing the body of Christ, and the sand of the sea is the church, and God is to stand upon that, is to preach the gospel, and he is speaking now about this beast that he sees coming up out of the sea. Now, it says that this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. And when we look at this, we go back into Revelation chapter 12 again, and we see in verse 3 concerning the beast that was spoken back there, it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the sea. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, and for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, in this particular picture in Revelation 12:3, we see that God is identifying this great red dragon, which has 7 heads and 10 horns, but also tells us that they had crowns upon their head. We go back into Revelation 13. I don't think we have the... Hang on, let me get back to that verse. Let's go back to look at that. I don't think we see crowns upon the horns in this particular picture. We see that, I think, in the second part of the beast. Let's say when the beast coming up out of the earth. having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his, oh yeah, it does say that, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. I think what we see here in 13, we see the picture of the 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns. In later on, we're going to see in the picture, later on in chapter 13, let me see if I can find that verse real quick, just to bring it to light, to keep it in mind here, because God gives us another picture of this beast, which comes up out of the earth, and it's not wearing, doesn't have 10 crowns upon it, but does give us another picture concerning the idea of kings or kingdom. And it speaks about 2 horns of that beast. Let's see. I don't see it right now. I'm sure we'll come up to it. There is another picture where we see the beast with 10 horns and it doesn't have crowns, but God gives us some different language. And ultimately, you know, God, I think, has given us a picture of this beast and identifying with the fact that it's coming up out of the world. It's coming up out of the sea, which identifies with the world. And then we see the same thing with this beast coming up out of the earth. And we see a relationship between these two beasts, a little bit different in picture, but there definitely is a relationship with these two beasts. And in both cases, they identify with Satan. And ultimately, I think we're seeing a picture of the same beast, but God has given us different spiritual language to identify. And again, in both cases, it identifies with the beast, with the false prophet, and bringing in the things of men, the mind of man, and not the word of God. But let's go on, and we'll come up to that other verse. I can't find it right now, but we'll find it as we go forward in this. So we go over to Revelation chapter 17, where again we see a picture of 7 heads and 10 horns. Matter of fact, this may be the verse I was looking for. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the 7 messengers which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come up hither, and I will show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abomination of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the messenger said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which had the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth, and the 7 king, and there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is the 7th, and goeth into perdition. So anyway, here we have this picture of this woman, and she's sitting on a beast. You know, the Bible tells us that Satan was bound for 1,000 years, and we know that this took place at the cross. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we know that Satan is constantly working to assault the church of God, but God has restrained him during the church age. But nevertheless, from time to time, he had victory. The Lord turned a church here or a church there over to Satan and for judgment upon them. And of course, now we're at the ends of the world, and we have this situation, of course, where we see in the Bible where Satan has completely taken over in the churches. And so there is this constant warfare, so to speak, a war of words, another gospel, being so soon removed from the truth. A church here and a church there. And we see, of course, the first seven churches that God speaks about in Revelation. All of those churches have already fallen or have passed on back in history. We don't see them anymore. And God gives us this picture of this woman sitting on this beast, and has seven heads and ten horns. But then God identifies these horns, these heads, with seven kings. Let me see if it's the horns of the head. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Okay. Now, the mountains are the high places, and we have seven kings. The Lord says five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And I think that, well, we know that the number five identifies either with judgment or grace. So we have a picture of judgment that has already come upon them. Five are fallen. And I think that is identifying with the Old Testament Israel. It's a picture of judgment that became upon a nation, a people that had the oracles of God. And so judgment has come upon them. But then there is the picture of one is and the other is not yet come. And I think the clue to the last one identifies with the Great Tribulation, because it says that when he comes, he must continue a short space. And that short space, we know, identifies with the Great Tribulation. We are at a time, I think, where we can say that this particular one king in view is the time of the short space. And of course, it's not identifying necessarily with an individual. It's identifying ultimately with Satan. And this one that continues a short space is identifying with Satan and his false prophets. Here, I think we see the picture of two in view. Two identifies with the church, in this case the corporate church. One is, and that's during the church age, and one is yet to come, and that identifies with the Great Tribulation. And so I think it also identifies with an idea of a different kind of a rulership. The one that comes in the short space is when Satan has completely taken over the corporate body, and behind the scenes, of course, the worship and the focus is upon him and another gospel, and not upon Christ. Looking at these ten crowns, going back to the horns, we see in Revelation 17:12, next verse, ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And so these ten horns, we saw a picture with the beast with ten horns and ten crowns. We saw a picture with the beast without the crowns. And now God is identifying these ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. It's identifying with the fact that there is a kingship here, and that is identifying, I think, the picture of the horns the crowns on the horns is giving us the same picture as what we're seeing here in Revelation 17:12. But God has just given us different language. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. We know that the Bible speaks of the hour of judgment, and I'm not aware of any other place in the Bible where God speaks of the hour, except for in the case when Christ went to the cross, and that was the hour of judgment that he paid on behalf of us. And I think, if I recall, I think there was also a reference to Judas, where the Lord said, "This is your hour." I think that is the case. Maybe someone could check for that verse and correct me if I'm wrong on that. But in any event, Here is a picture of these 10 horns, which represent the 10 kings, and they receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. 10 is the number of completion, and so we're not looking for 10 individual kings. This is a picture of the completeness of those who will rule during this time, and there'll be a complete ruling in the church, and I think that is what's in view here. 10 is completeness, and the fact that they will have power as kings 1 hour with the beast, that's the completeness of the ruling of Satan through the false prophets during the Great Tribulation. And again, I think the big focus on this 10 is also giving us the idea of a complete church that has gone apostate. We're going to see, I think, as we go into study, the number 4 is going to identify with that constantly. And we know 4 is universality. And so this falling away, this apostasia, is universal. It is throughout the world. But let's go back and let's finish reading these verses. Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall go and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And that focus is ultimately bringing us to the mind of the kingdom of Satan. And given their strength onto the beast is identifying with the mind of man. Remember, the number of the beast is the number of mankind, and so it's identifying with mankind, and they are lifting up the things of men, the imaginations of men, another gospel, another Jesus, and not that of the Bible. And so they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall go and make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the water which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And that's because they're bringing judgment, they're bringing another gospel. And even the word of God that they quote is a judgment upon them. Because they say, thus saith the Lord, quote a piece of scripture, and then privately interpret it. So this is a judgment, and it'll make her naked. It will not cover. It'll make her desolate. It will not bring the light of the word, the Lord, upon them. And shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And the idea of eating the flesh is a picture of ultimately Satan devouring through the works of the flesh of those people is a picture of eating the flesh. It is the supper. It is the great supper that God has prepared. And so they eat the flesh and burn her with fire, because there is judgment upon them. For God had put it into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In Revelation chapter 2, let's go back to 13 first, Revelation 13, and we saw there of this great blasphemy in verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, out of the world, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And also the idea of the number 7 is the perfection of what God has in view. In this case, it's the corporate church, and it identifies with the 7 churches of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And it identifies with the place where the 7 messengers were sent onto those 7 churches to bring the word of God. Those 7 messengers identify with the body of Christ. And of course, there are 7 spirits, which is really one spirit. Again, the perfection of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is identifying with the Holy Spirit that brings the word onto the body of Christ, that brings it onto the corporate church. So we see how God uses these sevens and in order to bring forth the idea of perfection, the perfection, the perfect work of God. This beast rises up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And, you know, when we look into the Bible and we look at this word blasphemy, I think the most clearest definition of the word blasphemy is found in Revelation chapter 2, which identifies the message unto one of the churches, verse 8. And unto the message of the church, unto the messenger of the church in Samaria, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So blasphemy is someone who comes in the name of the Lord saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord doesn't, and the Lord has not said it. That's blasphemy. A blasphemy is someone who claims to be a Jew and is not. Someone who claims to be the body of Christ and is not. So if a corporate body, especially a corporate body that is dead, claims to be the body of Christ, the pillar and the ground of truth, and they are not, then that is blasphemy. And that's what God has in view when he gives us this picture of blasphemy. Back into Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leper, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority. And we know from the Bible that the dragon is Satan. The Bible is very clear that the dragon is Satan. And so the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. That is the picture of the beast, and God has given us a picture of that beast. The beast which I saw was like unto a leper, and his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And we go back into the Bible and we look to see what God has, what pictures God gives us concerning the leper and the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. We'll look to quite a few places in the Bible, and we'll look at some of them. In Jeremiah chapter 5, we read in verse 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find the man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, art not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. And of course, that is the picture of the church. They have refused to receive correction. They swear falsely, and the Lord has stricken them, but they have not grieved. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgments of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgments of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. Remember, the Lord came and he said that his yoke is light and his burden is light. And so he bears the weight of the yoke that we are yoked upon them. And the corporate churches were yoked to Christ through the body of Christ as long as they were under the hearing of the truth, as long as the body of Christ was ruling, and ultimately Christ ruling through the body of Christ in that church with a rod of iron, then there was a yoke upon that church. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Therefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities, every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. So here we have a picture of the lion out of the forest coming in and slaying them. And we know that the lion, we get two pictures in the lion. And just like we, many pictures when we look at the body of Christ and the pictures of Christ, we constantly see two pictures. We see Christ, the lion of Judah, and then we see Satan walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And here is the picture of that roaring lion coming out of the forest. The lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. And the leopard is a picture of a leopard that is making watch on the city for those who are trying to exit the city, those who are trying to flee from the city. A leopard shall watch over these cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. So if the lion doesn't get them in and they find an escape, the leopard will get them as they come out. Because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are not gods, that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, then they committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's house. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one nighed after the neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, but they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith Jehovah. They have beguiled, to deal falsely. They have dealt falsely. And Jehovah said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see the sword nor famine. Let me reread that. They have beguiled, they have dealt falsely, the Lord, and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see the sword nor famine. And the prophet shall become a wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith Jehovah, God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. And so here again, you know, we see this picture. The Lord will make the words in thy mouth fire. And I think this is a picture of the false prophet. Let's go back, verse 14. Wherefore thus saith Jehovah, God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. So the words coming out of the false prophets will be judgment. And the people, which was a picture of fire, and the judgment will also be upon the people, and the people will be as wood, and the wood shall be devoured by the fire coming out of the mouth of the false prophet. And so that's the picture we see here. In verse 13, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. You know what's really interesting? We're looking at this picture of the four messengers holding back the four winds, and that again is identifying with judgment that is being held back. And we know that often the wind, of course, can identify with Satan. The seas and the waves roar by Satan, and the picture of the wind is which is in view. And God sends the wind; He sends the judgment. But we also see in the wind as a picture of the voice, the sounds of the... And you know, when we... This idea of the sea and waves roaring, the idea of the winds blowing upon the sea to make the sea and the waves roar is a picture of false doctrines. It's a picture of that which is contrary to God's word. And so it is another gospel, another Jesus that's being preached, the flood of false doctrines. And so in the wind is the sounds... in this case, the sounds of false doctrines. And the question is what's behind the wind? You know, when we go into the Gospel of John in chapter 3, and the Lord has this conversation with Nicodemus, and he tells Nicodemus, the wind bloweth, and thou canst not tell whether the wind cometh or whether it goeth, and such is those who are born of the Spirit. he can't tell because he's not born of the Spirit, so he doesn't know whether the wind is coming or whether it's going. And that's the picture of the sound of the Holy Spirit as it leads us through the Word of God, having the spiritual ears to hear and knowing the sound and the voice coming from that wind. And then there is the other picture of a wind, and behind that wind is the voice of the unholy spirit, if I might use, the spirit of Antichrist, another spirit, a spirit that is not Christ, is none of his. And that's the picture, I think, that's in view here in Jeremiah 5:13. And the prophet shall become wind, and the words is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. And this is the judgment that God is bringing, and we see how this is identifying with this great tribulation, and how it is identifying upon the place where the people are called by his name, but have returned from his ways and rejected the truth and denied him. In Jeremiah chapter 13, we read in verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Let me reread this. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighboring the lewdness of thy whoredom and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Will thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Let me reread that verse again. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighborings, the lewdness of thy whoredom and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? The word of Jehovah that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth or the drought. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up, and their nobles have set their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads, because the ground is chapped. For there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind are calved in the field, and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild ass did stand in the high places. They sniffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. And the grass identifies with the greenery. It identifies when you have grass, of course, you have rain and you have moisture and you have the sun. And there is no grass. We saw in the Bible in many places, grass identify with people who are ready to hear, ready to blossom. First, the blade comes up. Same word as grass is the word blade, which starts off with the corn to come up into the ear, and so on and so forth. Also the same idea, unless a blade of grass falls to the ground, picture of Christ. And so here is a place where the gospel is no longer to be prepared to go forth here. And here is a picture of the wild asses. You know, the wild asses, the asses, first of all, identify with a corporate church, just like the camel. It's a beast of burden. It identifies with a corporate body. They're still carrying the burden of their own sins. But they are close to the hearing of the gospel during the church age. And now God is identifying them as wild asses. And they did stand. They're declaring something. In the high places. You know, the abomination of desolations are now in the high places. And they sniffed up the wind like dragons. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. And we know the dragons identify with Satan. And the wind identifies with an unholy spirit in this case. And their eyes did fail. They cannot see afar off because there was no grass. And there was no feeding taking place. There was no pouring out of the rain, the latter rain or the early rain. It has become barren. It has become as chaff, the Lord said. Verse 4, let's go back, Jeremiah 14:4, because the ground is chaffed, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the fields and forsook it because there was no grass. The wild asses did stand in the high places. They sniffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. There was no gospel. There was no rain. There was no good earth. It has become chaffed. So, we see this picture, can the leopard change his spots? We see as the lion that comes out of the forest and into the cities to slay them, and the leopard catcheth them as they try to depart out, as they try to escape it. The leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. We get another picture of the leopard, let's look at this. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And I think this picture of the four winds is giving us some insight on when those four messengers were commanded to loose those four winds. God is speaking of a vision here, and it identifies it with happening in the night. And four is universal. It identifies with a universal judgment in this case, coming from the four winds of heaven, and it strove upon the great sea. And the four beasts came up from the sea. Again, the number four, four great beasts. And number four is in view again, universality. Came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. We know that the eagle's wings identifies with the corporate church. We saw that in Revelation chapter 11, where the woman was given two wings as an eagle in order that she could fly off into the wilderness where a place was prepared, and that's the corporate church in the New Testament. And here, the first beast that had come up was like unto a lion and had eagle's wings. It identifies with the church, and this particular lion is a picture of Satan. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now I thought about this. First of all, going back to this lion and eagle's wings, and the wings are plucked out. There's a picture here. Now, you know, we know that fowls have the ability to fly into the heavens, and we know that the Lord gives us the picture. I think it's in Revelation 19 where He calls the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, to come for this great supper feast. We see them in Matthew 24 and a few other places where the Lord speaks of where the eagles are where the carcass is. There will the eagles be gathered together. The picture of this church, corporate body, which is dead, which is a dead carcass, and the false prophets are feeding upon the flesh. That is their food. We see this lion, of course, as the lion that has been set off into the city, that came out of the forest to destroy, and now the wings are plucked off. And I think this is identifying with the fact that they have been separated from the body of Christ. I think that's why the picture of the wings being plucked off. They can no longer fly in the heavens in the true high places to bring the true rain, the true clouds bringing the water, the rain, the earlier rain, in this case the latter rain, the gospel. They're made now to stand upon the feet as a man. And Satan is identified with man. He is the spirit of man. Is this the man? We read in Isaiah 14. And of course, it is the mind of man. It is, and that's where Satan works, in the mind of man. The number of the beast is the number of mankind, 666. It identifies directly with mankind. And so now, separated from the body of Christ, and no longer the true gospel, there is no true heaven above. They've been, you know, the heavens above have been removed as a scroll when it is rolled up. God gives us many pictures of this kind of thinking. The heavens become as iron, which is judgment, and the judgment that God has sent is the judgment of false prophets. They prefer the lie, so God sends them to strong delusions. So they made to stand upon the feet as a man, and the man's heart was given to it. And the heart of man is evil. Who could know it? It's full of darkness. Satan and his demons dwell in the hearts of unsaved men. When we become saved, we're given a new heart. It's a heart transplant, a new direction, a new focus, a new desire. But this is the false prophet that's in view here. And he's standing upon his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs. And I thought about this. I was looking in the Bible to see this rib. The first thing that came to me is the rib that came out of Adam for the purpose of creating woman. And woman being the mother of us all, called Eve. And we have a corporate body which is referred to as a woman. And the interesting thing is in the belly of the beast, the belly that God gives us many times is a place that identifies with the church, the heart of the earth, or in the belly of the earth, the belly of the beast. It all identifies with the womb, a place where birth takes place. And even the body of Christ was in that belly, in that womb, and we become born again. And I think there's kind of a picture with this idea of the woman with the three ribs. We know that three identifies with the purpose of God, and I'm not too sure exactly how to look at this, but the rib does identify with the woman. And here, I think maybe somehow we might see a picture of this bear that raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs. In other words, it is identifying with it feeding off the dead body, identifying with it feeding off the woman, the corporate church, the harlot. And thus, and they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. flesh. And we get a lot of this kind of language in... well, let's go look at Revelation, I think, 19. Revelation 19. I think that's where it is. Yeah, Revelation 19. Verse 17. And this is the picture of where God calls the fowls to come to this great supper feast. And pretty sure this is where... Yes, it is. Revelation 19, verse 7. And I saw another messenger standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And this is another picture of the separating of the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. Here is a picture of God separating the fowls in heaven that are flying into heaven. And he's calling them down where? To the earth to devour the carcass. Saying unto them, saying unto all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bonds, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse and against his army. So again, here, seeing the beast identified with them and these fowls eating the dead carcass. Again, a picture of eating flesh. And we see this very same picture here when we go back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. And behold, another beast, again identifying with the beast, a second like to a bear. And there are four beasts in view. And again, this is a universal picture. And I think that's the reason why there is four. And God gives us the picture of the lion and the bear. And we saw the leopard and I forget the other one. Well, we'll see. And behold, another beast, the second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So I think we can identify with the same kind of a picture that we see what's going on in Revelation 19. And again, this is the judgment that God has sent upon the corporate body. Verse 6, Daniel 7, verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And again, here, identifying with a fowl, identifying with four, identifying with wings, with flight. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And again, this number four is in view, universal. You know, I think Daniel 7, it's just got so many fours in it, I think it makes it very clear as we look at this number four, that it is identifying with something that is universal. This is a complete apostasy and a complete judgment against the corporate body. And this is just one of the ways we're seeing it. God gives us this picture in many different ways, and he gives us different language to see again that this is complete. For instance, he gives us a picture of the clouds and the rains going forth and feeding the earth with water and the sun coming up and so on and so forth until a time comes when he commands the cloud that they bring no rain upon it. And what happens, you know, we have the dusts and we have the land becomes a dust bowl. And we have thorns and thistles, no green grass, no fruits, no trees, and so on. And we have a vineyard without fruit. And so a leopard which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, four beasts, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had iron teeth. And iron again identifies with judgment. Iron, the Lord rules with a rod of iron. And when the heavens become iron, it is just judgment. There is no grace. There is no light coming through. So the heavens above become iron. And here, this is a picture of the four beasts, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoureth and break in pieces and stampeth the residue with their feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns, again identifying now with the beast, 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horn plucked up by the roots. You know, when I saw this plucked up by the roots, it made me think of the where God speaks of... Let's look at that verse. I think it's in Jude, where trees are plucked up by their roots. And here is a picture of the horns being plucked up by their roots. And generally, the horn identifies with the Word of God. You know, Christ is the horn of our salvation. It is the Word. Let me see if I can find this verse. I think it's in Jude. Yeah, Jude chapter 1, verse 12. Let's see... where we'll start. Well, there's only one chapter in Jude. Well, we'll start at verse 1 and we'll see where we'll stop. We may read the whole chapter here. And Jude gives us a picture of the Great Tribulation. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them... that are sanctified by God the Father. To be sanctified is to come into the hearing, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So not just those who have come into the hearing, but those who have been preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So this identifies with the calling, the sanctification, the calling, and being born again to be preserved. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful to me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that is Christ, delivered unto the saints. He is the faith, from faith to faith. He is our faith. It is Christ within us that saves us, His faith. For there is certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the messengers, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the chief messenger, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know, naturally, as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with the winds, trees whose fruits withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And there is that phrase, plucked up by the roots. And all of this is a picture of a godless place, godless people, They feast with the charity when they these are spots of your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Instead of clouds with water, they're clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Trees whose fruit withered, they're fruitless trees, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Twice dead, picture of both death, the second death. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of their hand and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And so, you know, this whole chapter of Jude is just a picture and a description of the ungodly people in the churches who are spots in our feast of charity, and they feasted with us. And they are clouds without water, trees whose fruits are withered, and without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And that's the only two places that statement comes up. Going back to Daniel 7, verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. And again, the word horn ultimately identifies with the Word of God. And here it is identifying with Satan. Satan walks around with a Bible. He's got the Word. He knows the Bible. And so among them, another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in the horns were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now, this picture of thrones is identifying with the thrones of the saints. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we were ruling and reigning with Christ in the churches, and now these thrones are thrown down. We see in Revelation a picture of the thrones, plural, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them. That's the body of Christ. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had worshipped, had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And now Daniel has given us a picture of these thrones that were cast down. And it goes on to tell us, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And the idea, this is a picture of Christ, this is a picture of God. And here it talks about him sitting in these thrones at one time, because he was sitting in the body of Christ. And he still is, of course. He's ruling and reigning in the body of Christ. But it is the body of Christ who was ruling in the church. And ultimately, of course, it was Christ who was ruling in the body of Christ, ruling in the church during the church age. And that's why we have this picture of him that had sat in these things, in these thrones. And the Ancients of Days did sit. And now he sits on his own throne. He did sit, whose garment was white as snow, to sit is to rule. And his hair of the head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame. He comes in judgment, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld, and became, and because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one sat like the Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in the spirit and in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me known the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. And the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were as iron, and his nails of brass, which devoureth and break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet. And the 10 horns which were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake of very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And of course this is identifying with Satan, until the Ancients of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And that was the question that the disciples asked. I think it was in Acts 1. And will you now restore unto the kingdom unto Israel? And ultimately, Israel, of course, is Christ Himself, and we also identify with Israel as being the body of Christ. And here is the time that has come that the saints possess the kingdom, the time for the restoring. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings, same language you saw in Revelations, 10 kings, the completeness of the ruling. And shall arise, and this identifies with mankind in the hearts of men ruling in the churches as God ultimately, and Satan himself, of course, devouring the flesh and dwelling in the hearts of unsaved men. So the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3, subdue a third kings. This word 3 kings, this word 3 is also translated a third, a 3 or a third. And the idea of kings here, shall subdue a third of Kings, I think, is maybe a better translation here, because the third of Kings is identifying with the false prophets, or identifying with the third that is lost in the corporate body, because those people are ruling and reigning with Satan. They think that they're reigning with Christ, but they're reigning with Satan during this great tribulation. So we may better view this as, and shall subdue a third of the kings, maybe. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the times and times and dividing of times. Now we saw times and a half times in Revelation chapter 12 concerning the New Testament era. So three and a half is identifying with the New Testament era. And here again we're seeing another three and a half. And this is identifying, I think, with not only the first part of the Great Tribulation, but I think it's really bringing us to a time in the first part of the second part of the Great Tribulation, from when Satan was loosed, the fifth trumpet, until the body of Christ came up and out. It seems that God is identifying that time period with three and a half also. At least that's what it appears to be from the language here. Let's see. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of times. And he's talking about the saints at this point, given into the hands of Satan, from the standpoint that he has overtaken us in the church, in the corporate church. Of course, not in our hearts and in Christ, but in the church we've been silenced. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hereto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions was troubled me, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And I'm going to stop it there because we're running over. And we've got some more verses I want to look at, Proverbs and an Amos, and looking again at the bear and the lion, and also the lion again in 2 Timothy and some other verses, and then we're going to move on to the next few verses and look at another period of time that God is identifying with the number 42 months. But anyway, with that, I'll end it for the evening. If anybody has any questions or comments or anything to add or to correct, feel free to pick up the mic.